Okay, guys, ready to bring your school closer to its community? In part two of the Traveling Principal Show, we're going to break down how educators can integrate local culture, trades, and traditions right into their classroom. From conducting community audits to partnering with local businesses and creating interdisciplinary projects, this episode is packed with practical strategies to transform education. Start small, dream big, and let's build the future on today's show. Join me in this week's educational resource titled Building the Future: Actionable Strategies for Integrating Culture and Trades. Okay, everybody. Welcome back to the Traveling Principal Show. My name is Joe Colossi, and I am your host. Excited to be here for part two of this two-part series. In part one, we explored the why behind place-based education, why it matters, and how transforming schools like one of the ones in the Kamehameha School district, if you will, in Hawaii, as they are spread all over the islands of Hawaii, and as well as Summit High School in Breckenridge, Colorado, how those schools are transforming the way the people who live there and around that school can conduct business in the future as it is relative to the geographical locations. And also, let's throw in an element of sustainability as well, which is absolutely necessary as we move forward in this world. And so today, with this part two, since part one was all about the why, part two is going to be on the how. So how can educators bring these ideas to life in their classrooms and even in the communities, right? And so we'll share some practical strategies that educators and administrators and even community members can use to make this approach a reality. Okay, you guys, so let's just jump right into it, right? Let's get right into some actionable takeaways for educators. We talked about the why. Let's get into the how. How can you create programs like that of Kamehameha in Hawaii? As well, and we focused on the one in Oahu and as well as Summit High School in Breckenridge. And so when you're talking about these two unique situations, these two unique schools, their geographic settings, of course, matter, right? So let's confront the elephant in the room. In order to do that, you have to know who's out there in your community. And the best way to do that is to conduct a community audit, right? So understanding your community is the first step here. A unique audit within the community involves identifying the trades first, the traditions, and then the industries that make your area unique. So think about it from that lens, right? We're not just going to jump out and open up the yellow pages like we used to back in the day, start from A and work our way down to Z and see what takes. We're going to take a look at those three things: identifying trades, traditions, and of course, industries. When we're talking about some rural towns, for example, let's say rural farming, we could explore the agricultural practices, food preservation, and those techniques are huge depending on the actual geographical area that you're in, and then irrigation methods that could be tied to science and history lessons absolutely as well. If we're talking about more of your urban settings, you might want to focus on local agriculture or architecture, historical landmarks, or some of the major industries within an urban setting like technology or manufacturing. They tend to be there. Also, businesses in larger urban settings, they tend to revolve around tourism or some sort of element of hospitality and culinary arts. And so don't skip over those three major aspects of most of your urban settings. So how do we get going, right? We know what's out there. We could organize some surveys. You can host focus groups with families. Don't forget, you could also invite local leaders to share their insights about what they see, what they hear, as they have their ear to the ground in the community as well. But this ensures that your curriculum reflects the real-world context of your students. And that's a major, major connection that has to be made. A lot of times I've seen schools connect with Boeing or some really high level manufacturing engineering firms. And it's just fictitious to see that there's a potential for a sustainable partnership. There is always a potential for a partnership, but something that is sustainable needs to have this return on investment, which we'll get to later on in the show. Okay, so let's say that we conducted our community audit, and we are now on to the second phase, which is partnering with local businesses or some local experts. Collaboration is absolutely the key here, you guys. So local professionals bring authenticity and expertise into the classroom that educators usually do not. And so in these situations, Summit High School partnered with ski and snowboard companies that allow students to gain real world skills there, right? The need was presented. The students played a role in that process. Some coastal schools might consider partnerships with fisheries. Urban schools could consider partnerships with urban planners, with tourism, local tourism, partnerships with some of the local eateries, partnerships with some of the local architects, right? The opportunities within an urban setting are almost endless. Some practical tips. You can host guest lectures or workshops where professionals share their experiences. Create internships or apprenticeship opportunities for students to gain hands-on experience, because I'll tell you, that could be your most valuable hook in your career programs and could really grow your program into something that I don't think you understand possible. Once you have this connection with an internship or an apprenticeship or a pre-apprenticeship program, I'll tell you, your program's going to grow. Okay, so here's a major step that needs to be considered on a very technical level, because we can conduct our community audit and then we can start to create some partnerships, which are all well and good. But now what, right? So our third thing that we can do is to try to design interdisciplinary projects. And so real world problems, they don't fit neatly into like one subject area, and neither should solutions. In this situation here, some examples could be a drought-prone town could have students work on water conservation, tying it to science, history, and English. Culinary traditions in a community could inspire chemistry lessons on cooking, math lessons on scaling recipes, and creative writing about food memories. Conservation efforts in a deforested area could combine biology, math, and persuasive writing for sure. These benefits are endless for students, because the projects show how students' subjects are interconnected and can create these opportunities for teachers to collaborate on engaging lessons. And so if you are partnering, let's say, with an ag partner, and you're considering things like irrigation, you're considering things like sustainability, you're considering things like health, we could bring so much to the table with regards to that partnership to maintain on the precipice of innovation and whatever is cutting edge out there with regards to what's trending health-wise and how we can be the best for this planet. So we conduct our community audit, we create a partnership, and now we're trying to create this interdisciplinary project within the school where we can bring the partner in, we can combine the partner with the students, and we could really start to show off and define what's called the return on investment for the partner. And so an RTI for your partner is crucial in order for them to want to remain. A lot of times you'll hear big businesses say, you know, they're in it for all of these different reasons, especially to give back. And I get that, but it is a business and they are in it for making money. And so a return on investment is very important, and I don't want to leave that out. The more you give on your end of the school to increase what the return on investment looks like for the business as a partner, the greater this will grow and the longer this will last. I can guarantee you that. Let's build some momentum and start with our first steps here. So change doesn't have to happen all at once. Begin with a simple project, maybe a guest speaker, and tie it to something that is coexisting in the school. So you don't want everybody to have to reinvent the wheel. You don't want everybody to start over. You might have something that's currently going that this would fit perfectly with in a couple of different subject matters, or it could could stand as like a capstone or a culinary a culminating project at the very end. But it doesn't have to happen all at once. What I would rather you do is create almost like a ripple effect. And so what I mean there is small successes inspire bigger changes and new ideas. A single classroom project could spark a school-wide initiative or even some sort of a community movement. And that's usually how it happens. And so consider that starting small as well can really go a long way. So, I mean, by integrating cultures and trades into the education systems, we don't just prepare students for jobs. We're preparing them to lead, to be innovative, but also to give back to the communities. So thank you for joining this two-part series on place-based education. It was a very skimmed version. If you'd like to learn more, please reach out to me, joe@travelprincipal.com. I do have a series on creating your own career and technical education pathways in your school. If you'd like to know more, please shoot me an email. Remember, the journey of transforming education begins with one small step. So until next time, keep navigating education with purpose and with heart. And as always, if you don't, I can show you.
Thank you for listening to the Travel Show.
The Traveling Principal Show.
Principal. Okay, start all over.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Travel Principal Show.
Perfect.